having girded your loins with truth. I personally probably spend more time putting on the belt of truth than I do most of the other pieces of armor. There is so much deception. Sometimes we are not really aware of how deceived we can be, even when it comes to understanding who God is and what He's like. Satan, of course, is the preeminent liar and deceiver. His demons are liars and deceivers. Men are liars and deceivers. God and God alone always speaks the truth. When we gird up our loins with the truth, what we're doing is, by God's grace, protecting ourselves from one of Satan's most effective weapons, and that is discouragement that comes through lies. He tries to deceive us. He tries to confuse us. He tries to blind us. He wants us to trust our experience, or he wants us to trust our emotions, or he wants us to trust our common sense, or he wants us to trust human philosophy, or he wants us to trust logical reasoning, anything except God's Word. And when we start trusting these things, we get in a state of confusion and deception and eventually discouragement. Satan specializes in creating misunderstandings in our mind and just a little faulty perception here and there, a little misconception. He likes to bring about some misleading circumstances. He wants to keep us defeated and discouraged. The belt of truth will enable us to overcome all of this. Now, obviously, there are a whole lot of ways that the enemy can try to deceive us, but it seems to me that there are a few areas in particular that are especially critical. If Satan can deceive us into having a misconception about our sin, or about God, or about who we are in Christ Jesus, our own identity, or about the power available to us through prayer, if he can get us to misunderstand these things, then we're going to be in trouble. So when I put on the belt of truth, I try to take some time in prayer just to speak some of these truths back to God. Obviously, God knows all these things. I'm the one that has trouble. I'm the one that doesn't remember. I believe God wants us to put on the belt of truth to remind ourselves of these truths, and we do it in His presence as we talk with Him. So when I do that, the enemy's attempts to deceive me in these areas tends to just wither away. You may have noticed, by the way, that the first five weapons that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6 are defensive weapons. It is important to put these weapons on, these pieces of armor on first, before we try to do offensive warfare. When you start putting on the belt of truth, you might want to begin just by praying something like this: Father, I thank you that you are a God of truth, and that your word is the word of truth, and that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth, and that Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. Those verses are found in John chapter 17 verse 7 and chapter 14 verse 17, chapter 15 verse 26. And chapter 14, verse 6. It's not a bad idea at this point to spend a few moments just confessing the truth about your sin. And it may be that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind specific sins that you need to repent of, in which case you just need to confess those and receive forgiveness. But it's important to understand God's perspective. In other words, you might pray, Father, I recognize and confess the truth about my sin. I realize it's horrible, and it's ugly, and it's serious, and it's deadly, and it's disgusting. But I also realize that by your grace, it's been cleansed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that when I confess my sins, you are faithful and righteous to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And then I think it's good to spend some time just focusing on the truth about who God is. You know, when you're speaking to God in prayer and communicating to Him that you understand a little bit of who He is and what He's like, what you're really doing is praising the Lord. That's praise. Praise is just confessing the truth about who God is. Now, there are many, many expressions of praise that we can use. Sometimes young Christians don't really have a handle on these things very well and don't have very many of them learned, so it's difficult for them to praise the Lord. I would suggest you just spend some time memorizing some of these things until you're able to bring them to mind when you want to praise the Lord as you put on the armor of God. For example, you can use some of the names of God. You can say, Lord, I recognize that you are Jehovah, the eternal God. That's what the word Jehovah means. It comes from Yahweh, which means the great I am, the one who eternally exists, who always is. I confess that you are El Shaddai, the Almighty God, Adonai, Lord and Master, El Elyon, God Most High, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner of victory, Jehovah Rophe, the Lord my healer, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord my peace, Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord my righteousness, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is here, Jehovah Makadosh, the Lord who is my holiness. Now these are strange sounding words if you've never studied this matter, but these are Hebrew words that God has written into His Word that describe Him, names that He's given Himself that enable us to praise Him. And when you focus on these names, it reminds you a little bit about what God's character is like. You can praise Him for being your Savior and your Redeemer. You can say, Lord, you are the wonderful Counselor. You're the truth. You're the light of the world. You're the way. You're my Deliverer. You're my everlasting Father. You're the Lord of glory. You're the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the just and righteous judge. Father, I acknowledge that you're a God of wrath. You're also a God full of compassion and mercy. You're a God of grace and loving kindness. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. You are Lord of all. You are great and greatly to be praised. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come. You are the Creator of the heavens and the Creator of the earth and the Creator of the seas and all that's in them. You are my strength and my shield. You are majestic. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are all-powerful. You are all-wise. And you are all-loving. All wealth belongs to you. You are mighty. You never fail. You never sleep. You never leave me alone. You are my hiding place. You are my refuge. You are my sustainer. You are a very present help in times of trouble. You are the one who forgives all my sin. You are worthy of praise and honor and glory and worship and adoration and magnification and exaltation, and you're worthy of thanksgiving, and you're worthy of applause, and you're worthy of sacrifice, and you're worthy of tribute. And you can go on and on just praising God and expressing some of these things that are true about God. That's a powerful part of putting on the belt of truth. You can add to that, by the way, while you're putting on the belt of truth, you can confess the truth of God by singing. There are many hymns and songs of praise choruses that you can sing back to God that will enable you to put on the belt of truth while you're singing. Another part of putting on the belt of truth is recognizing who you are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, they overcame him of course referring to Satan, they overcame him, Satan, because of the blood of the Lamb, and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even to death. The word of their testimony is a powerful factor in overcoming Satan. And the word of our testimony simply means we recognize and understand what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. We need to make sure that we can communicate that clearly to ourselves and to the enemy. And of course, we communicate it to God in prayer. And I'm talking about things like this. According to God's word now, I'm a child of God, and all things are working together for my good. I'm an heir of God and a fellow heir with Christ. I'm being transformed into the same image of the glory of the Lord from glory to glory. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. I'm a new creature. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm redeemed. I'm God's own purchased possession. I'm a stranger and pilgrim here on the earth. I'm an ambassador from the kingdom of God. I'm held in His hand, and no one can snatch me away. Sin shall not be master over me. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Christ is in me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I've been made complete in Him. I've been set free by the truth. I'm loved by Jesus. I have died to sin. I've been raised with Christ to walk in newness of life. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is supplying all my needs according to His riches in glory. I have power over all the power of the enemy. God says He will never leave me or forsake me. I'm more than a conqueror in all things, overwhelmingly conqueror. I reign in life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I'm qualified to share in the inheritance of the saints. I've received the power of the Holy Spirit. I acknowledge that there is a power working in me that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or even think. And once again, you can go on and on and on mentioning scriptures that give you a picture of the truth about you and who you are in Christ Jesus and what's true about you. And while you're at it, you might want to add a few verses that remind you the fact that God answers prayer.